Good evening, everybody. So glad you're here. I want you to, if you would, to take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Acts chapter 3, and we're going to look at the first five verses. We're going to be in four different places tonight, and there's what I want to do tonight is I want to share with you, the title of the message is Great Expectations, but it's based off of what I am considering to be my word for the year, expectation. I am fully expecting God to do something great in our lives, in my life, in your life this year. And that's not just motivational talk. I have been wrestling with the Lord about where do you want to go this year? What do you want to do this year in my life and in the life of the church here at North and the people that make up this church? And expectation keeps coming back to me over and over and over again. And so I'm going to share with you from four different places. I want to just point out four different things, and I just want to tell you right up front, we're going somewhere tonight. Because I believe that whatever your circumstances are, I believe that God wants to meet you at that point of need tonight. And we're going to have a time of prayer that we're going to pray for needs, but also we're going to have a time of praise where I believe that some of you are going to pray your way into believing that God is enough and you're going to expect great things this year. Some of you are going to praise your way tonight and believe that God is enough and expect great things this year. So Acts chapter 3, starting at verse 1, says, "One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. And now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful." So just there's a significance there on the gate called Beautiful. It is directly across from the Garden of Gethsemane. If you're standing at the Garden of Gethsemane and you look across the valley, that is the gate that is called Beautiful there. That is, it's the Eastern Gate. It's the gate that has been sealed up. It will not be unsealed again until Jesus Christ comes again. This is a significant gate he is at. And it says, "Where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, 'Look at us.' And so the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them." What follows is the miraculous. What follows is something this man never expects that we'll talk about in a few minutes. But I want you to notice something. He was expecting to receive something from them. Over and over and over in Scripture, when the Bible talks about someone that is expecting something, it is not like we think, like, I just expect something to happen. This is far beyond that. This is an eager expectation. The word expect literally means to wait with hope, to eagerly expect something to happen. And I don't know how to best describe this to you. So a few years ago, well, it's not a few years ago. This is 22 years ago almost. I had the privilege of going to Augusta to watch the Masters. And it was in the prime of Tiger Woods' career at that moment in time. He was having just this run, this streak of just success after success over and over again. And so we made it to the practice round. And so the practice round is different because it's not so intense. Everybody's just having fun. The golfers are having fun with the patrons and everything else that are going on there. And so it's amazing, though, as we were walking through there, the people that were waiting to see all of their favorite golfers come out. And when Tiger came out in the height of his career, everyone began to rush up and go close to the rope lines, and people would get to the front and they would stand there, and then other people would come behind them, and if they weren't taller than the person in front of them, they would literally stand on their tiptoes just to get a glimpse of Tiger and of all these other golfers that they would walk by maybe 6 feet from them, and they'd just yell out and say, "Oh, well, they look my way." This is that kind. It's like a kid on Christmas morning when you tell them the night before, "One more sleep," there's an eager expectation. It's like some of you do with these Marvel movies like Spider-Man that just came out. You went and saw it. You called all your friends and you were waiting with eager expectation. Just couldn't wait. It's like some of you, and I was one of you, that had waited for so long, and you're in the bottom of the ninth with two outs, and the Braves are up by so many runs in the World Series and Game 6, and you're thinking in your mind, "I think we're gonna do it." In the back of your mind, you're thinking, "Please don't blow it again," right? But you're watching with every pitch, you're going, "Could this be?" You're eagerly expecting, you're on your tiptoes almost, emotionally, eagerly expecting. That's what that word means. You see, you expect what you focus on. What you expect is what you focus on. What gets your attention is what you expect. And I need you to understand something, because things will try to get your attention along the way. Circumstances will try to get your attention along the way. And if they get your attention, it begins to change your expectation, gets your eyes off of Jesus and puts them on your circumstances instead. Listen, you can read and you can reread the doctor's report, and you can focus on the limitations of modern medicine, which we're thankful for all the time, or you can focus on the unlimited power of God to heal and restore your life and your body. You can focus on the uncertainty of the economy, or you can focus on the truth that no matter what the economy does, my God will supply all of my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. You can focus on the fear of the pandemic and all of the ramifications that come from it, or you can focus on the Prince of Peace that the Bible says will guard your heart and mind constantly. You can fret over the dysfunction in Washington, D.C., or you can focus on Jesus Christ, the only one who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and worthy to sit on the true throne of authority. What you focus on determines what you expect. But this is the good news. You have the final say of what gets your attention and what you focus on. You literally set the expectations of your life by what you choose to focus on. And it is vital for your spiritual life to expect God to have greater authority and greater power in 2022 in your life. And you and I need to approach this year waiting, expecting, eagerly expecting, literally on our tiptoes, anticipating what God is about to do in our lives. So how do we do that? I'm going to give you three different places where God shows us this. What do you do in expectations? Where do you set your focus? And you're looking at 2022. What's that going to do to your expectations? Here's what I want you to focus on. I want you in 2022 to expect God's power in your life. Expect God's power in your life. In the first, in chapter 1 of Acts, the Bible tells us about when Jesus is just about to go. He has risen from the dead. He has spent 40 days afterwards, and he is going to back to be with the Father. And he speaks some words into the life of his disciples. Now, in Acts chapter 3, when we talked about Peter and John, two of his closest disciples, as they're going to this gate, they're going to a time of prayer. They didn't go out looking for someone to find and to heal. Just in their going, God puts someone in their way. But have you ever thought about, where did that power come from? Where did that authority come from? Because as this man asks for money, and they say, look at us, and the man looks at them, and the Bible says that he looks at them expecting to receive something. They don't give him money. No, Peter looks at him and he says, silver and gold I don't have. He said, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he said, rise up right now and be healed. Walk. This man who'd been lame. Where does that boldness, where does that authority, where does that power come from? Well, Jesus had promised them, these things that you see me doing, you will do those things and even more when I go. And in Acts chapter 1, verses 4, starting in verse 4, it says, and on one occasion while he was eating with them, after the resurrection, before he ascends into heaven, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But you will receive, it's on the screen, what will you receive? Power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now skip to chapter 2, verse 1. As they wait on him, as they pray, it says in verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. You need to expect God's power through the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, can I just talk to you and be your pastor this evening? If there's one thing you need in 2022, it is the power of God. It is the infilling of the Holy Spirit in your life that changes your life. And can I just speak to some of you? I'm going to be real with you. When I was saved, it was several years before I received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, before I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the reason was for this. I wanted to understand it all. I wanted to understand how it worked, what the process was, what was going to happen when that moment took place. I could have literally taught a class on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but didn't have it myself. Because I wanted to understand it. Some of you want to understand everything about God. You want to understand it with your mind. And can I tell you something? Some of you need to try to stop understanding God with your mind and start trusting Him with your heart. Trusting that His power is enough. Trusting that He's commanded. Jesus said, I want you to wait for it. This is for you. This is something that you need. Believing that if Jesus says, this is what I want to do for you, that you need this more than anything else. In 2022, I wanted to see you filled with power. Some of you may have been raised in a denomination or a church tradition that taught against the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Lay aside everything you know and go read the scripture and allow the Lord to speak to you. Don't listen to what everybody's told you all your life. Some of you grew up in a tradition of Pentecost, and you've seen it, and you've seen some weird stuff, and you've seen some strange stuff, and you've seen some stuff that was not of God, that was extra above all these things. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Listen to me. Lay aside all of that and all of the things that man has done. Get in the Word. Trust God for the authentic infilling of the Holy Spirit that gives you power in this year. Because I'm telling you, if you don't begin this year seeking God for power, you're going to come to the end of this year and you're going to be wondering, why did I spin my wheels spiritually all year this year when God has called you to take new ground and new authority with His power? Expect God's power, but that doesn't come except through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And listen, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I'm praying for some of you during our time of prayer and fasting that this is going to happen in your life as you yield yourself, as you empty yourself more of you, that God's going to fill more of you. Next month, our first Wednesday, I've got one of my good friends, he's preached here before, Pastor Jason Daldrell is coming. I've told him on that Wednesday night, here's what I want. I want you to come and I want you to believe that God is going to fill people with the Holy Spirit that night. I want you to believe that. I want you to prepare for that. I want you to ask God to anoint you for that. I'm believing for this for your life and my life, that a greater infilling will take place. Expect God's power. The second thing is, I want you to expect God's provision in your life. In the first part we read, in chapter 3, this man is lame, and he's laying by the road, and he's begging for money. And when John and Peter come by, he asks them for money. And the Bible says that they say, look at us. And it says he's expecting to receive something, but he's not expecting what he gets. He's expecting that they're going to give him what he asked. He's expecting they're going to give him money, but that's not what God had intended for him. Instead of money that day, God intended to do a work in his life and provide for him something that he did not think that was possible. Here's what I mean. He was asking for money for him to get through the day. I need enough money. I need to make it one more day. I just need to survive one more day, which is what all his life was. But God said on that day, I'm not giving you something for today. I'm giving you something for today and tomorrow and next week and next month and next year. I'm going to heal your body and give you your life back in that moment. So many times we spend our time praying, asking God just to give us enough to get through this day. Oh, Lord, just help me. And I know Jesus told us to pray for daily bread. I'm not talking about the food that's on your table. I'm talking about other things. We begin to pray for and ask him, oh, Lord, help me. Just help me. You know, this habit that I've got, this temptation that I've got, this sin that I've got. Oh, God, give me enough strength to make it through this day. Oh, Lord, this addiction that I have. Oh, Lord, give me enough strength to make it through this day. Oh, Lord, this attitude that I've got going on that everybody's noticing and it's affecting every one of my relationships, just give me the grace to make it through this day. Maybe, just maybe, God wants to give you more than enough grace to make it through this day. Maybe he wants to give you deliverance over that habit, deliverance over that temptation, deliverance over that addiction, deliverance over that attitude where that bitterness and anger turn into joy. Listen, God doesn't need just to tell him what we want or how to answer our prayers. You ever waste your time doing this? Oh, God, here's my need, and here's what you can do about it. Because all of us have a plan, right? What if we stop telling God how to answer our prayers and just say, oh, God, I am in need, and allow God through his supernatural power to reach down and give us exactly what we need. That's God's will for your life. That's what he wants. Expect his power. Expect his provision. Now, I want you to buckle up on this one. Expect opposition too. If you're going to move into great things in this year, you need to expect opposition. Opposition from the enemy. Opposition from people who don't want to see the great things in your life. Opposition from well-meaning people that misunderstand your faith level. There's another area in, there's another place in Scripture where in Mark chapter 10, if you got your Bibles, you can turn, it'll be on the screen there, where it's in the life of Jesus, as he encounters another man who is in great need. In verse 46, it says, "Then they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus," which simply means son of Timaeus, "was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' And many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' So they called the blind man, 'Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you.' Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. 'What do you want me to do for you?' Jesus asked him. And the blind man said, 'Rabbi, I want to see.' 'Go,' said Jesus, 'your faith has healed you.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road." Notice the progression. He hears Jesus is passing by. He cries out for Jesus to have mercy on him. People try to convince him to stop calling on Jesus. And he calls out even more. I don't know if they thought he was being loud. I don't know if there were some of his friends that thought, hey, let's not disturb the teacher right now. I don't know if it's people who lacked the amount of faith that he had. But he knew this. He heard that the one opportunity that he knew could help him was passing by, and he wasn't going to miss the chance at that moment in time. And he cries out for the mercy of Jesus. And Jesus hears him. Even as they try to quiet him down, the Bible says he calls out even more. Can I just tell you this? Keep calling out to Jesus. I don't care if it's people who don't believe in Jesus that are trying to put you aside and say, don't worry about Jesus, he can't do anything, or if it's well-meaning people who misunderstand your faith and they just think, don't put too much hope and don't put too much trust in this. We don't want you to be disappointed. You keep calling out, and don't let anyone dissuade you from calling on the name of Jesus. The Bible even says then that he throws off his garment, his outer cloak. Now, there's a lot of Bible scholars that believe that in those biblical times that beggars sitting on the side of the road had this cloak, this garment that was an official garment that the government kind of recognized. These are legitimate folks. These are disabled. These can sit on the side of the road and beg for alms. And these are legitimate folks that you know that you can give to, that are safe to give to. We know that their need is real in all of this. So he's got a garment that identifies his need as genuine. But when he goes to Jesus, he throws that garment off. He throws it away. This is a beautiful picture because he's going to Jesus. Jesus hasn't told him he's going to heal him yet. Jesus hasn't even asked him what he wants. All he said is, "Jesus, have mercy on me." And they said, "The Lord is saying you can come to him." He throws off that beggar's coat because here's what it is. He doesn't know exactly what Jesus is going to do for him, but he knows he's not coming back the same. Can I tell you something? If you can approach with faith that level of faith and certitude when you go to Jesus, knowing that when you go to him, you're not coming back the same. It may not be exactly what you've asked for. It may be not what you think, and it may not be in the timing that you want, but you will not come back the same. But if you need to understand, you need to expect opposition. Good, well-meaning people will oppose you. Don't listen to them. People that don't believe in Jesus will oppose you. Don't listen to them. The voice of the enemy will try to speak lies into your mind. Do not listen to them. Call out on the name of Jesus. The final thing is this. Expect the miraculous. Expect the miraculous. In Luke chapter 7, another story about Jesus' encounter. It says, when Jesus had finished saying all this to the people, verse 1, he entered Capernaum. And there a centurion's son, a centurion is a Roman soldier that's over 100, he's an officer that's over 100 men. There was a centurion servant whose master was valued highly that was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation. And he's built our synagogue. So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. And I say to this servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. No, this man's not Jewish. He doesn't even think he has a right to ask Jesus for anything. The Jewish elders, the one who opposed Jesus, they go to Jesus and say, this man is worthy of your attention. Because he loves our nation, and he's built our synagogue. Notice the difference. The Jewish leaders are saying, Jesus, he's worthy of you being there. This man sends word later and says, I don't even deserve to have you in my house. But if you'll say the word, he recognizes his authority. He recognizes that it's not necessary for Jesus to come over and just lay his hands on him. He says, I believe you have all the... Up to this point, Jesus basically has been laying hands on people, healing the sick, doing the miraculous. But he says, Lord, I trust that you don't even have to do that. You just say the word, speak the word, and it is enough. Do you know this is the only time when it says Jesus was amazed at the faith of this man? It's the only time in all of Scripture where Jesus is amazed at anything. What is he amazed at? That this man believes that you have enough authority to do it any way you want to. I don't even need to be in your presence because your presence is with me. I don't even need you to be here with me. I don't need you to necessarily touch me. You speak the word. The same voice that spoke this world into existence can speak the word into your life and change your circumstances. The same word that spoke everything into perfect creation can recreate any circumstance, any problem in your body, any problem in relationships. He is a creative, recreative God. Speak the name and say the word. And he says, if you do this, if you just say the word, I believe my servant will be healed. Why is Jesus amazed at this faith? Because he's not trying to understand it. He's not trying to control it. He's saying, say the word. Whatever word you want to say, however you want to do it, say the word. You know why this is so encouraging? I meet so many people who say, yeah, I believe in the miraculous, but you know, I'm not super spiritual like this person. Listen, this man is a Roman centurion. He doesn't know scripture. He doesn't know any of this. You know what that speaks to me? You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to understand how miracles work. You simply need to believe that Jesus is more than enough and ask him just to say the word over your circumstance. Stop trying to qualify yourself and understand that Jesus is more than enough. Hudson Taylor was a missionary to Africa. And he made a vote on one of his voyages there. As he was passing through one of the canals, the captain came to him, and he knocked on his door, and he said, "Can I help you?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "I've heard that you believe in God." He said, "Yes." And he said, "Will you pray for us?" And he said, "Okay, what do we need?" And he said, "We're passing through this canal," and he said, "but there's no wind, and our boat is drifting. And there is an island to our east that we believe is filled with cannibals, a tribe of cannibals." And he said, "And if we don't do anything, if the wind doesn't pick up," he said, "will you pray the Lord will send some wind?" And Hudson Taylor said, "All right, I'll pray the Lord will send some wind." He said, "but I need you to set the sails." And the captain looked at him and said, "I can't do that." He said, "my men will think I'm crazy." He said, "I can't pray for wind if you don't set the sails." And they argued back and forth a few times. And finally he said, "Fine, I'll go set the sails." 45 minutes later, he comes back, knocks on the door, finds Hudson Taylor on his knees, still praying. And he looks in and he says, "You can stop now. We've got more than enough wind going right now." You know what expectations do? Expectations set the sails for the wind of the Spirit to blow the miraculous into your life. That's what God wants to do. God wants to do so many great things in our lives, but so many times we set our sights so low. What are you expecting him to do this year? You don't have to see it to believe it. Start now. Praise in expectation. Sow in expectation. Pray in expectation. Expect the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in every area of your life. Spiritually speaking, get on your tiptoes and say, "I expect God to move this year in my life." Say these words: "I believe I can be healed. I believe I can be filled. I believe I can be blessed. I believe I can be anointed like I've never been before." Fully expecting that God wants to do great things in your life this year. I'm gonna ask everyone in here to stand. We're gonna enter into a time of a little bit more worship. As we begin this first worship song, some of our prayer team is gonna be down front. If you need prayer, I'm just telling you, I wouldn't go into this year with a need without bringing it to God, fully expecting him to meet that need. We're gonna pray for those needs. Some of you need to pray, and you need to pray with expectation. Some of you, maybe you don't need to come forward and pray, but as we begin to worship, you need to lift your hands and you need to praise in expectation. I don't mean mouth the words. I don't mean just sing them, the songs. I mean get them in your heart and declare them before the Lord that he is enough for you right now. And I'm going to just pray for us right now and ask God to begin to do the supernatural in your life right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, we come before you fully expecting the great things you're going to do. Lord, we pray that as you do these things, that our faith will be strong, that your grace will be enough. God, I pray that some folks that are in this room right now, maybe they're in this room and they've never lifted their hands before. Maybe they've sang songs, but they've never sang with their heart, sang with their soul. I pray tonight, oh Lord, that they begin to praise in expectation of what's gonna happen. I believe that some are gonna come and pray tonight, but they're not just gonna mouth words of prayer. I believe they're gonna pray in expectation. I pray your anointing upon every one of our prayer team tonight. Lord, that you give them not only the power and the boldness and the authority to pray, but give them the words your Spirit wants to pray on behalf of your people tonight. Lord, I pray that the sounds of praise and the prayers of faith will begin to reach heaven tonight, oh God. And this, as we get on our tiptoes in expectation of what you want to do in our lives, oh Lord, I pray that you pour out your blessings tonight upon your people as just an outpouring and a beginning of what you're going to do in this year because we're expecting great things. And Lord, for all these things that you're going to do by faith, we go ahead and give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord praise in advance if you believe he's going to do something great in your life. Amen.